Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is Chuck Hammond broadcasting live from the global headquarters of the 401k Study Group. It is September 23rd, 2015, a beautiful fall day here in scenic Hanover, Pennsylvania. The show is Content That Moves the Needle, where we bring resources and solutions to advisors to help them grow and scale their practices. And today is one of those rare days when we are not talking 401k. Today we are talking finance for teachers with my very good friend, Mr. Dave Grant. So, Dave, how are you?
I'm very well, Chuck. Thank you for having me.
Dave is calling us from the very wonderful state of Illinois. I was just there last week. Dave is a certified financial planner. He works exclusively with educators. I don't want to steal any of his thunder, and despite the fact that I've known Dave for a couple of years, I always think it's best for our guests to introduce themselves. And so, Dave, with that in mind, give us a couple of paragraphs, but quickly, on who you are, what you do, and then we're going to jump into the Finance for Teachers Network.
All right. Well, I am a native of England, so some of my words come out funny, so just watch out for those. And emigrated to the States 10 years ago and jumped into the world of financial planning just by accident. I married a teacher and figured out that teachers are probably the best people on the planet and realized I wanted to help them with their finances. And that led me through a series of firms where people weren't too keen on me working with teachers, and so I started my own company and work exclusively with educators in Illinois, but sometimes I get my arm bent and work with teachers out of state. That has led to the wonderful world of connecting with other advisors around the country who continue to work with educators with as much passion as I do, and that's brought me up to current day, just getting to know people, whether they be educators or advisors wanting to help them as well.
Well, Dave, thanks for that summary. I, too, am married to an educator, which is not why we get along well, and I am not from England, so although I do like pubs. There are a lot of challenges when you work with an educator, and one of the reasons why I've been so blessed to be, at least on the fringes involved with the work that you've done and always found the way you've employed a social and digital strategy to scale your messaging, there's a lot of reasons why working with educators can be challenging. You know, when I started in the industry, I would literally go school to school for 403B plans. You had to arrange it, multiple carriers. You could only see the teachers at certain times of the day. Most of the time they were startup. There wasn't a lot of money. It was a lot of work. But teachers are important, and they work hard, and a lot of times they don't get the credit they need to. So despite the fact that you're married to an educator, why did you choose to work with them?
Well, I think that really did help the decision, as I saw how hard my wife worked and for such little recognition in the community for doing it. And then I saw my mother-in-law doing the same thing and getting close to retirement because she's a teacher as well, and realizing that there's such little education in the education system for teachers and their finances, and we're really doing a disservice to those people who are raising our children and giving them all the tools that they need to make them successful in life. And they almost got shunned by our community because they don't, you know, air quotes, they don't have money, and they're not going to be able to pay us. Well, that's not always the case, and it's definitely not the case as I built a practice out of it. Some teachers are well paid, they're married to a spouse that's doing very well professionally, and they need help just like everybody else. So it was a case of finding people that I really loved working with as people, and finding out that they had very unique problems that just sent me on a journey with working with them and thoroughly enjoying it.
Working with educators is a long game. It's not the short game. It's a relationship business. And a new teacher today can amass a tidy fortune, irrespective of whether they're working K through 12 or they're working in higher ed. Some of those plan balances look like mini corporate retirement plans with matches and bonuses and contributions and cost of living adjustments into the plan. So at some point, there's been a disconnect between the financial services industry and the educators, and I think that might be one of the reasons why you chose to start the Finance for Teachers Network. Is that right? And if so, elaborate, and if not, feel free to correct me and tell me why you did start it.
There was two reasons the network had to be born. The first one is as an advisor working with an educator, it almost feels like you're on an island. There's because the financial planning community as a whole has almost shunned the education community, I felt like I was working by myself serving this community, and it definitely wasn't the case. But every other advisor that I found out there that was working with educators felt the same way I did. They were saying, well, I don't know anyone who's doing the same thing that I am. And I would reply, well, I've spoken to 10 other people like us in the last month, so why don't we just get together? The second thing is people were saying, I've got a core group of educators as clients and I love them. I don't know how to grow my practice so I can work with more of them. So that became a case of, well, what do you need? And people just kept giving me the same things. You know, I need a formal marketing plan. I need to understand how to break through the red tape of a school district. And I then found, you know, marketing professionals and practice management coaches and brought them all together. And that's what the network is. It's helping people come together as a community of advisors serving educators, but also propelling our practices forward so that we can do better work with these people as well.
I think that's interesting. There are a lot of similarities between being a 401k-centric advisor and being an advisor that specializes with working with educators K through 12 or higher ed. You know, for a long time, you know, we were the folks that paid attention to, and for good or for bad, because of the advent of legislation and regulation, people started to, financial services had to pay attention to 401k-centric advisors. And now with, you know, what's proposed at the Department of Labor level, there's going to be a whole new consideration about how folks can and can't do business. So folks, there's a lot of similarities between the reason why Dave started the Finance for Teachers Network and the reason why my business partner, Chris Richardson, and I started the 401k study group 5.5 years ago. It was because we needed to find more people like us. We wanted to collaborate. We wanted to share. We also wanted to know what other folks who were willing to collaborate and share were doing that might have been working just as well, or more importantly, might have been working better. And that has blossomed into a wonderful, interactive, peer-vetted group that I really, really am fortunate to be part of, not just because it's something that I invented, but it's something that I get to be present with almost every day. And I think for those of you who don't know Dave and do know me, that's why Dave started this. He started it because he needed like-minded people to share and collaborate with, and if for no other reason, that's a great reason to start a group. So, Dave, you've got the website up. You've got it running. You've only been up and running a couple of weeks. Talk to me about the formal mission for the network.
Well, the mission itself is to bring advisors together who have a passion for working with educators, help them grow their practices so that they can serve more educators. So, well, kind of.
No, that, I mean, listen, you laid it out. You don't want to be on an island, so you need support. You want to grow because you've got a good cadre of clients that you love working with, but you don't necessarily know how. And the only way to do that is to share and collaborate. So I think if that was the only mission of the group, was to grow a community, that would be good enough. But when you add the ability to help do all of the other things, and most of the advisors that I get the privilege of talking to are lone wolves, small shops, one or two people, maybe a part-time assistant. They spin a lot of plates. They're entrepreneurial. They got to worry about a lot of things. And really the only time they get to talk to other advisors is maybe when they go to a national event or a broker-dealer conference. But regular predictive contact and collaboration is something that needs to be happening in the industry just to make it grow. So you started this group based on really good tenants. Who's it for? Is it for me, Chuck Hammond, the founder of the 401k study group who does nothing but 401k work? Is it for a guy like me? Or is it for a guy like me or a gal that may want to branch out in a different direction with their financial services practice? Or is it strictly for folks that are working with teachers today?
Well, you know I love you, Chuck, but you're not welcome in the group. It is a very wide open group in the fact that if you are working with educators, you're welcome. If you want to start working with educators, you're welcome. And we're not discriminatory on any fee structure that you work with. The whole point of the group is if you don't have a passion for working with educators, don't join. And if you do, or if you want to start getting that passion, start to understand why educators are great to work with, you're more than welcome. The only people that, if you do have a passion, but you work for a wirehouse, or if you work for an insurance company, I can't let you in. Because those, unfortunately, it's not the people, but it's those types of companies who have been taking advantage of educators for the longest time. And I have a personal mission just to call those people out whenever I can. So if it's a captive insurance company that sells 403Bs, well, you're going to have to change your working circumstance if you want to come join the group.
Taking a stand is always interesting. We go back and forth about overall membership, and I think at the beginning or the formation or the initial foundation of building that tribe, that serious group of users who has not only their interest in mind but also the greater interest of the group is important. I don't necessarily think it's derogatory or negative when you don't allow people in. There is something that can be said for bespoke, something that is important, something that does have strict criteria. And Dave, I know you love me, but I am always reluctant of any organization that will have a guy like me. So I know that Mark Twain said that, and he's not British, but he was a pretty famous American author. But I've been there and I've done that, and I don't mean in the sense that I don't think there's value in it. What I've found is that it wasn't for me. Although I've loved working with the educators that I continually come into contact with and still know, the system for me was always very too constraining. It didn't leave a lot to be desired. We talk about transparency in the 401k space, and for me, back in the day, and don't forget this was 16, 17, 18 years ago, you only had a couple of options when you went into a school system, and it was just really, really hard. And what I've realized now that I didn't realize then was, if it was hard for us to do the work we wanted to do, it was even harder for the educators to get the work done that they needed to get done, because they, just like us, they only have so many hours in the day. So you talked about growing a community, building a group of like-minded professionals. You talked about how do you grow, how do you get better at what you're doing, and then getting rid of that isolation. So inside of the finance for Teachers Network, what are you giving me when I join, and what do you expect in return from that? What are the services? What am I going to get? What's the happy meal?
Sure. I am well aware that people want to join groups for different reasons. So there are three different tiers of membership. So if someone wants to come along and they just want to spend the least amount of money, but they want to be involved, then there's a $50 a month lowest membership tier. So that gets people involved in the community. There's monthly webinars from all the coaches giving information on different, expert areas that they have. But then you also get to work with one of our coaches. Her name is Autumn, and she is a writing coach. So she is able to spend time with you every month, either perfecting your blog, perfecting your web copy, making sure that you are putting your best foot forward when it comes to using, the written form. So that's something that, will start to increase an advisor's expertise in writing just from being at the bottom tier. Once advisors realize, I need a little bit more than that, they then move up to it's called the gold tier. So the first tier is called silver, next tier is gold, and that's $250 a month. But that includes 6 months of coaching as well as all the benefits in the silver tier. So that is 3 months of group marketing coaching, 3 months of group practice management coaching, and this is coming from experts who've been doing this for 20-plus years. It also gives you discounts when it comes to doing online lead generation campaigns. So when you go out, via the internet and you search for, an advisor working with educators who are 5 years away from retirement, you're pulling up right there at the top because that's your campaign. And so we've got people who do that for a living, and they're coming in and, we're paying for some of that program for you just by being on that gold membership. There's also web designers who are coming in, and if your website is not geared up to do an online campaign, they can come in and tweak your website so it's all ready for it. There's also advisors that come in and say, that's awesome, I don't have time to do the marketing. I want someone to do this for me. So that's the platinum tier. That is very bespoke. It's $1,000 a month, But Ultim, instead of becoming your coach, she's now your marketer. She's writing all your blogs. She's writing your newsletters. The network itself provides you branded videos to put on your website that are geared towards educators and all the issues that they face. So you get one of those a month to just put out in social media, and it's like you made it. You also get all the coaching as well. So you still get that 6 months coaching, but now your discounts for all the other services, they all ramp up. So you're almost getting 6 months of, you know, free services on all these other coaches inside the network. So there's different services and different things for different types of people, but there is a place for everyone and every budget.
I think the different tiers is important. I think, you know, it's kind of what we say here, you know, there's the dating, and then there's the engagement, and then there's the marriage. And mm-hmm. at the beginning, I think advisors struggle with two things, and this is what we found. They struggle with implementation and prospecting. And what this group has done, the foundation for them to have some of that done for them and giving them the tools where they can do some of it for themselves. You know, it's always amazing to me how even in 2015, there is a distinct portion of the advisor community, irrespective of what niche they work in, that really isn't sold on this internet thing. They're not really sure it's going to catch on. They don't necessarily think that social and digital is a viable marketing strategy. But I just did an event in Chicago. We were in Chicago last week, and I took out my phone. We do very little on Facebook because, you know, typically 401k plan sponsors, that's not a good target marketing platform for them. But I posted a piece on 529 plans with a college planning guide that was offered up by one of the mutual fund providers, and I wanted just to see how it did and what it would cost. So I was pretty selective in targeting on Facebook, and within 2 days I reached 1,342 people for $9.33. Now, back mm-hmm. in the day when I got started doing a print campaign, doing a newspaper ad, doing a mailing, even a banner ad or email click through, would have been exorbitantly expensive. And still, in relative dollars, it's expensive to do all of those things today. So being able to leverage the technology and social distribution is important because that's how people find information, that's how they share. And I read a statistic a couple of weeks ago that said that the average client looking for a financial advisor, irrespective of their net worth or their investable assets, will visit digital properties between 9 and 10 times before they ever set foot in that advisor's office. So they're going to go look at your LinkedIn profile, your Twitter feed, your website, your blog. They're going to see who else you may be connected to on LinkedIn. And they're going to do this, what they call high-value research, before they make that decision. So for me, everyone who knows is that I'm exceptionally passionate about social and digital, largely because of how scalable and inexpensive it is relative to other things. So being able to get just that coaching would be tremendous because there's a huge learning curve in order to ramp up client acquisition using digital. So are you finding a lot of the advisors are interested in that particular piece, Dave?
They are. They are very interested in how they can leverage it, just like you said. The key thing about all the coaches inside is I've used them. I've used all of them but one, and I'm using her right now. And it's a case of, okay, so I did a mailing campaign of 250 teachers at the start of this year, and it was a postcard campaign, and there was 5 postcards spread over 2.5 months. That cost me about $2,500, you know, all costs in. I got one prospect out of that. 6 months before that, I did an online lead generation campaign, and that included doing an ebook and having a landing page and doing, you know, Facebook and Google AdWords. All in, not including the ebook because I made that myself, but all in, that campaign cost me $200, and I got 75 qualified leads because I targeted teachers 5 years before retirement, based in the suburbs of Chicago, and I now have that list to use. They're qualified. Like, I know exactly who they are. I can look them up. And because all the information in Illinois is public, I know where they teach and what they earn. So now I can essentially build a new practice for $200 with this list. So I agree with you. The power, if you embrace the internet and all the things it can do, there are no limits to how big you can grow with that case.
Well, I think it's also the ability to be selective. I mean, advisors are always struggling with implementation and prospecting. And when you and I talk about, you know, the grandness of what you can and maybe cannot do with technology, you know, there's a lot of Harry Potter effect. But at the end of the day, when you have the data and when you have permission to reach out to these people and educate them and inform them and excite them on a regular, predictable basis, that's very powerful. And the other part is that they may not be ready right now. They may not be ready today. But if you've built the marketing and education engine the right way, you'll constantly have that water at 212 degrees. So when they're ready to pull the trigger, or their district offers them a buyout, or they're considering changing school systems and they're trying to evaluate, you know, one benefit package versus the other, you'll be front of mind, and it's very easy and very scalable to do that. And I think the other important thing is having peers to talk to. So, Dave, what's your plan? And I know I would only keep you for 20 minutes, but we're already at 21, so I've got one other question because it's very, very important to me. How are you going to facilitate the collaboration between the members?
Sure. Well, the website itself has a forum built in. So we are definitely there for advisors to throw all their questions on there. And, you know, there's definitely two different groups in there. There's K-12 advisors, advising teachers in K-12, and there's ones with professors in colleges. And the questions can be different. So there are specific sections inside the forum that are designated for both those things. And, you know, people get emails when they're inside the network saying, you know, so-and-so posted this question. You should probably go take a look. You know, so it's not unlike any other forum. And then there's webinars as well. So we're going to start to bring in experts who've been doing this for a long time, you know, longer than I have, and have built a practice of educators. And they're going to start spreading their knowledge throughout the whole Finance for Teachers Network community.
I like the fact that it's on demand and it's going to have a live component to it. And for collaboration, that's very, very, very important. So I don't want to keep you any longer than I need to, but I do want you to be able to give out your contact information. So how can folks, what's the best way for them to reach you? Where can they find you on Twitter? What's the website address? Can they reach out to you on LinkedIn? So hit us with all of that contact information.
Okay. So email is dave@financeforteachersnetwork.com. No numbers, all lowercase letters. Twitter, DaveGrant82. I do a lot of communicating via that way, so that's probably the best way to engage me in conversation. If you want to go check out the network, it's financeforteachersnetwork.com. There you can get all the information you want about the network. Once you scroll down to the bottom of the page, you get access to my calendar. If I didn't cover any questions on there, make an appointment and we can chat about it too.
Dave avails himself of technology. He's active on LinkedIn and Twitter. I suggest that if you're not following him and you're working in this space, you should, and take a look at some of the people that he follows, and you'll probably be able to gain a lot of insight into helping your practice grow one way or the other. So, Dave, I want to say thank you very much for being on the show today. It was great to have you. I wish you nothing but success, and hopefully in 3 or 4 months we can have you back on and we can see what you've learned from the group, what you've learned about growing a tribe, and more importantly, what the Finance for Teachers Network is doing for advisors. So from the bottom of my heart, really, thank you for being a guest on the show today. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you, Chuck. Thanks for giving me the platform.
Great. Have a good day, and thanks, everybody, for listening. This is Chuck Hammond from the 401k Study Group. Have a great day.